गिरिवर धारे जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यामन देरावन चारे यामन देरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय राधा मदन मोहन राधा मदन मोहन राधे जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय राधे श्याम जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव নিতাই গৌর হরি বো হরি বো হরি বো গৌর হরি বো శిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందికి తాయి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. సో వెన్ ద మైక్ ఈస్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ ఫార్ అవే ద న్యాచురల్ టెండెన్సీ ఈస్ టు పూల్ ఇట్ బ్యాక్ హియర్ బట్ టుడే ఐ హ్యావ్ టు అవాయిడ్ దట్ టెండెన్సీ ద మైక్ హ్యాస్ టు బి సిచ్యువేటెడ్ హియర్ యా బట్ వెల్కమ్ డియర్ డివోటీస్ టు దిస్ సెకండ్ పార్ట్ ఆన్ ద ప్రెజెంటేషన్ ఆన్ బియాండ్ భోగ అండ్ త్యాగ్. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you for kindly being present here. Thank you so much for giving me the most valuable resource of your life, which is your time. And this time cannot be gotten back even after giving everything in this world. And it is a non-renewable resource, but you have kindly agreed to give it to me. Thank you so much for kindly being present here. According to Shishta Parampara, tradition established by the previous Acharyas, I'll sing Mangalacharan. Most of us know these verses. You can kindly sing along with me. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale సోయం రూప కదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ రామ రామ. శిల ప్రభుపాద్కి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి ఇతాయి గౌర్ ప్రేమానందే. సో వెల్కమ్ వన్స్ అగైన్ డియర్ డివోటీస్ టు ది సెకండ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద సెమినార్ ఆన్ బియాండ్ భోగ అండ్ త్యాగ. ఐడ్ లైక్ టు make a brief mention of this very important point that bhog or tyag should not be connected to the color of any cloth, because sometimes we get to see people who are extremely dry and renunciate within their minds although they are in white cloth, and sometimes we get to see those who have a tendency for bhoga even though they may be in saffron. So this is not about the color of anybody's cloth. It is about the mindset of bhoga and tyaga that we are speaking of. So, irrespective of the color of the cloth, bhog and tyag are mindsets that are prevalent throughout the world, and therefore it's important to address both these mindsets. Before I speak, it is always essential to speak something about the qualification that a speaker has before a speaker speaks on such topics. Obviously, anybody who sits on the Vyasasana and tries to speak something will always have doubts about their qualification, and will I be able to represent the opinions of the previous acharyas properly. And therefore, this is a constant perpetual doubt for anyone who sits on the Vyasasana, no matter who that particular person is. In the around 9th or 10th century in India, there appeared a poet named Jaidev. Now this Jaidev is different from the Jaidev Goswami who appeared in the eastern part of India. This Jaidev Kavi, he appeared in the western part of India, and he wanted to write his own literature on poetics, kavya, poetry. And many people doubted him. They said, what will you write that which the previous acharyas on poetry have not written? Don't try to spoil anything, just keep quiet. Keeping quiet is the best service you can do. So sometimes a person sitting on the stage also feels like that. Keeping quiet is the best service to be done, because anything we speak might spoil the opinions of the previous acharyas. But Sri Jaidev ended up composing his textbook on poetics, and it became very famous, so much so that it is said Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan also studied his particular work for understanding poetics. So in the beginning of his literature, he says that disqualification is his qualification, and he composes a wonderful verse in the beginning of his Chandralok, his manual on Sanskrit poetry. I'll sing this verse, please repeat after me. The verse is in the simple meter Anushtup, the standard meter of the Bhagavad Gita. Nashankaniyametesham matam etena dushyate kintu chakshur mrigakshinam kajjaleneva bhushyate. He says, na ashankaniyam, dear devotees, don't have any doubt. Etesham matam etena dushyate, that the opinions of the previous great acharyas will be spoiled by the explanations that I give. Please don't have any doubt. Why? He says, kintu chakshur mrigakshinam kajjaleneva bhushyate. Kajjal. Many of us know kajal. Yes. Kajal is which color, dear devotees?
Black.
And anywhere you put kajal, that thing gets spoiled. You put kajal on this white cloth, the white cloth gets stained. You put kajal on the wall gets stained. He said, my voice is like kajal. Understand this thing. My voice is like kajal. Wherever you will put it, it will do something negative. Fortunately, the writings of the previous acharyas are like the eyes of beautiful women. And if you put kajal on the eyes of beautiful women, what happens to those eyes? Do they become more beautiful or not? So, it is the glory of the writings of the previous acharyas that although my speech is like kajal, but their writings are like the eyes of beautiful women. And therefore, these writings of the previous acharyas will turn out to be even more beautiful when I write something. So this is what he said in his Chandralok. Here is the translation. The audience should kindly not doubt that the opinions of the previous great acharyas will be ruined by these explanations of mine. In fact, their opinions will be highlighted and glorified even more, just as beautiful doe-eyed ladies appear even more beautifully decorated when a useless black substance, and what is the name of that substance? Kajal, is applied on their eyes. So, dear devotees, Sri Jayadev ended up writing his Chandralok. It is now one of the standard manual on Sanskrit poetics in India. It was studied also by Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan when he wanted to study Kavya. So, dear devotees, the eyes of ladies become even more beautiful when a useless black substance is applied upon them. So that black substance is my speech. Take it just like that. But yesterday we were discussing about the three primary goals of material life, and most of us know the Sanskrit names of these three goals. Please speak along with me. What are they? First is dharma, artha, kama. And there's always this doubt, or one or two devotees asked me this doubt. But the Srimad Bhagavatam specifies that one should not use dharma and artha for material enjoyment. Of course, that praman, that proof is given in Srimad Bhagavatam itself. So kindly sing after me. Nārthasya dharmai kāntasya kāmo lābhāya hi smṛta. So the Srimad Bhagavatam says, furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged exclusively in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Hence, no dharma, no artha, no kama. Alright? That is what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Right? So that's it. So the presentation is flawed because dharma, artha and kama don't go along with Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the seminar. Alright, thank you very much. Prabhu, you have a mic? Mic, yeah. Who has the mic? Maybe you can get a mic so that you can read the translation, sure. Yeah. So, dear devotees, it's very important to note. Please repeat after me the highlighted term. Dharma ekantasya. Dharma ekantasya. And it is for one who is engaged exclusively in the highest dharma. Dharma ek anta. Dharma is their ek anta, only purpose remaining in life. Bhakti is their only remaining purpose in life. Hare Krishna Maharaj. So please confidently raise your hands. How many of us fit in dharma ekantasya? Nobody? Yeah, it is engaged exclusively in ultimate occupational service, or engaged exclusively in pure bhakti, nothing else. How many of us fit the criteria? No. Alright. So the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks that instruction for those who are fitting that criteria. And for those who don't fit that criteria, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives another set of instruction. And this is the general instruction for everyone. Kindly sing after me. Sve sve dhikare yanishtha.
Sve sve dhikare yanishtha.
Saguna parikirtita.
Saguna parikirtita.
It is firmly declared that the steady adherence of transcendentalists to their respective spiritual positions constitutes real piety, and that sin occurs when a transcendentalist neglects his prescribed duty.
So it is declared that actual piety for everyone is to follow the rules and regulations which are according to their respective spiritual position. And according to if someone's respective spiritual position, if dharma, artha and kama are needed, then Vedic literature highly prescribe that you take to dharma, artha and kama. And do not slaughter any of these goals of life on the basis of moksha. Neither should one slaughter moksha on the basis of dharma, artha or kama. Neither should one slaughter dharma on the basis of artha or kama. Neither should one slaughter artha on the basis of dharma and kama. All three are needed, as we saw from the verse at the end from Bhim yesterday. Bhim said anyone who has only one goal of life is perhaps the lowest of all human beings. And therefore, this is the same principle that Sri Krishna is saying, and I had emphasized it yesterday. For a Vedic society, you will need to have these three goals of life: dharma, artha and kama. They are the foundations of which society? Vedic. Oh, Vedic society. And the term Vedic is now commonly thrown everywhere nowadays. Wherever you go, you will find one term attached. What is that? Vedic. But what is Vedic? How do we define Vedic? And that is very important to understand, because in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan defines what is Vedic. Kindly repeat after me. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. So Prabhu, kindly read the translation.
The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature.
This is Vedic. I am stopping there. Because many devotees will be eager to quote the next line. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. Arjun, the Vedas deal with dharma, artha and kama, three modes of nature. Arjun, transcend the Vedas. And when you transcend the Vedas, you are no longer in the domain of the Vedas. You come to the domain of Vedanta. And the domain of Vedanta is the domain of moksha. So Vedas deal with the first three goals of life, which are dharma, artha, kama. And the fourth goal of life is dealt with Vedanta. So Vedanta deals exclusively with which goal of life? Moksha. Athato brahma jigyasa. That's where Vedanta begins. So we should question ourselves, are we a Vedic society or a Vedantic society? It's a very important principle to understand. Are we a Vedic society or a Vedantic society? According to all of you, please tell me, say loudly, what do you feel we are, Vedic or Vedantic? Oh wow.
That's the same thing. Vedanta is the essence of the Veda.
No.
Vedanta.
Veda sar is essence. Veda anta is after you give up the pursuit of the three goals of life. Atha, now, after having given up the three goals of life. Ato, now, brahma jigyasa. Now, after having given up dharma, artha and kama, now focus exclusively on Brahma so that you can attain moksha. So Vedanta stands into a distinct category, although it is part of the Veda, but it is having a completely different purpose. So if we need to have Vedic society, we will need to have the Vedas. And if we will need to have the Vedas, we will need to have the first three goals of life. And what are the first three goals of life again? Dharma, Artha, Kama. And many places I go, I say Vedic ghee, Vedic milk, Vedic incense. So one point of time, at one place somebody came to me and said, this is Vedic ghee. So usually I don't like to get into a debate or discussion like that. But that day I had a different mood, so I said, let's give some trouble, okay? So I said, which part of the ghee is Vedic? What exactly is Vedic in the ghee? So he said, oh, it is made from cows that have freely grazed in the open pastures. Cows that have not been given any trouble at all. And we fed special medicinal Ayurvedic ingredients to the cows. And then the calf was given its due share of the milk. And then what remained? We made ghee out of that. This is Vedic ghee. I said, acha. It means that the cow enjoyed the full extent of kaam. And after the cow had its kaam fulfilled, it gave milk out of which you made Vedic ghee. So Vedic ghee is ghee in which the cow has her kaam fulfilled. And what about Vedic people? So it's very important. So my mind keeps thinking like this. Huh? It's a very crooked and complicated mind, but it keeps thinking like this. So sometimes I get into one or two arguments. The first requirement for Vedic ghee or Vedic milk is that the kama, the desires of the cow should be fulfilled. And therefore one of the names of the cow is Kamadhuk. No? Her desires are fulfilled and she also fulfills all other desires for the human society. So it's very important to understand that when we use the term Vedic, it has to include the first three goals of life. Otherwise it is not Vedic. It is Vedantic. So, anyways, we will not get into a big diversion. Yesterday we were discussing about two personalities. Now they are finally about to get married. Okay. First is Pururava, who had no intention of ever getting into Brahmachari Ashram. And second is Bhartrihari. Bhartrihari is about to get married to his beloved Anangasena. Very nice. All right, both of them have graduated into, are about to get, about to graduate into the Grihastha Ashram. A change from Brahmachari Ashram to Grihastha Ashram is technically called Samavartan. Samavartan is graduation. It is not called as a fall down, dear devotees. If we read the Satkriya Sar Deepika of Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami, there is a ceremony for a brahmachari to graduate from the brahmachari ashram. That ceremony is technically named Samavartan. Samavartan is graduation from brahmachari ashram. And when the brahmachari graduates, they can enter into householder life. We will focus now on Pururava. Pururava is about to enter into household life. Srila Prabhupada Uvacha. Prabhupada says something. And now Prabhupada is also discussing topics about the third goal of life, which is kama. And Prabhupada is making a comment about that. Prabhu, kindly read loudly.
Indeed, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets are certainly far superior to the inhabitants of earth. Nonetheless, Urvashi agreed to remain the consort of Pururava, although she belonged to a superior community. A woman who finds a man with superior qualities may accept such a man as her husband. Similarly, if a man finds a woman who is from an inferior family, but who has good qualities, he can accept such a brilliant wife, as advised by Sri Chanakya Pandit, Sri Ratna
Dushkula Adapi.
The combination of male and female is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on an equal level.
So very important point, And Srila Prabhupada here is also speaking something in relationship to Kam Purushartha, that before marriage, if the man and woman are on an equal level, and equal level is in terms of family, finances, etc., it is an equal match. However, this match is not equal. Urvashi is completely heavenly. Pururava is part divine and part human. Therefore, Pururava stays on the earthly planets, Urvashi stays in Swarga. It is an unequal marriage. And obviously, Srila Prabhupada says that the best marriage is one in which both are on an equal level in all aspects. Urvashi is already entering the marriage understanding that she has a higher status in the society of devatas. But she is attracted nonetheless to Pururava's qualities. The first meeting of Urvashi and Pururava, we spoke this verse yesterday once again. Let's sing. Shri Rajo Vacha, Swagatam Tevararohe, Asyatam Karavamakim, Samramasvamayasakam, Ratirnau Shashwati Sama.
Prabhu. With mild, pleasing words, Pururava spoke to her as follows. O most beautiful woman, you are welcome. Please sit here and tell me what I can do for you. You may enjoy with me as long as you desire. Let us pass our life happily in a romantic relationship.
So I've highlighted something there. He says, Asyatam Karavama Kim. What can I do for you? This is the first question that Pururava asks Urvashi. What can I do for your service? Is there anything that will please you? This is the first question that Pururava asks. In reply, Urvashi says, Urvashi vacha, kasyastvaina sajjeta, mano drishtischa sundara, yadangantaram asadya, chavate hariramsaya.
Urvashi replied, O charming one, is there any lady whose mind and body will not be attracted to you? Having caught a glimpse of your broad chest, I'm overpowered with the desire of enjoying life with you and lose control over my mind.
Yeah. If this was not Srimad Bhagavatam, people would think I am reading from some poetic literature. But believe it or not, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. As I said, it's a very sweet medicine. The Srimad Bhagavatam is administering a very sweet medicine at this particular point of time. And many of you might be feeling some delight in your mind upon reading such conversations. Wonderful. The medicine is having its effect. Happiness is the first after effect of a sweet medicine. So if you are feeling happy, wonderful, you are on the correct path. No commentator says you have to stop becoming happy at this point of time. Urvashi also said something. My dear King Pururava, please give protection to these two lamps. Now you can see two lamps she has bought from heavenly planets. Now she understands she is in a higher status. So the demands can be made from her side. And already she has started asking, I got two lamps from heaven, please take care of them. Although I belong to the heavenly planets and you belong to earth, I shall certainly enjoy sexual union with you. I have no objection to accepting you as my husband, for you are superior in every respect. Just see, Urvashi replies that you are superior in every respect. And this is a very important part of Vedic culture, especially a culture of marriage, because a traditional Vedic marriage is being described at this point of time. A traditional Vedic relationship between a man and a woman is being described at this particular point of time. There is a lot to learn here. Pururava is asking Urvashi, what can I do for you? Urvashi is saying, you are the best in the world. Let us get married. And this is an ideal, close to an ideal relationship in Vedic marriage, because the ideal relationship that is described in a Vedic marriage is as follows. Sri Vyasadev describes what an ideal couple is like. In the Markandeya Puran, he says, Yada bharta cha bharya cha parasparavashanugau tada dharmartha kamanam trayanam api sangamah. Yada bharta cha bharya cha parasparavash anugau. Yada bharta cha bharya cha. When the husband and the wife, paraspara vasha anugau, are completely surrendered to each other. It means that the first question of the husband is, what can I do for you? And the first question of the wife is, what can I do for you? And I am willing to do everything for your happiness. This is Vedic marriage. In contrast to many of the modern day marriages where a business deal is made, that I will do this and we can divide this and, you know, you take care of this and I'll take care of that. A Vedic marriage doesn't work like a business transaction. Yada bharya cha bharta cha paraspara vashanugau. The first qualification of an ideal marriage is the willingness to give happiness to the other person. And this applies equally both to men and women. And you cannot quote this verse and say, you were supposed to give happiness to me. The verse is only supposed to be applied to one's own self. Many years ago, in a private meeting, my Guru Maharaj quoted this verse when he was asked about an ideal marriage. Yada bharta cha bharya cha paraspara vashanugau. Both of them are completely surrendered to each other and have no other person in their mind or no other interest in their mind. And then a devotee asked a question. What if my wife doesn't follow this? So he replied by saying, Vedic culture is about carrying out your duties, not reminding others about theirs. It's a very important thing. It's about carrying out your duties, not reminding other people of theirs. Because the modern world is filled with people who demand respect and attention from others. And it is not worth it if you have to demand respect and attention from others. Ideally, if somebody is giving that respect by themselves according to their level of maturity, that is very good. Otherwise, well, do not expect anything more. But you can do your part. All right? Why? Because a person who is doing their part in a marriage is sowing the seeds of good karma, because this may not be their final life. Therefore, tatra tada dharmartha kamanam trayanam api sangamah. Prabhu, kindly read the translation.
When the husband and the wife are naturally subservient to each other, the three goals of life, as in dharma, pitta, and kama, become manifest together.
So it becomes very easy to have dharma, artha, and kama together if the husband and the wife are paraspara vasha anugau, that they are mutually surrendered to each other and have the happiness of each other as the primary goal of the marriage. The marriage is not out of any selfish desires, but it is out of the desire for genuine love and giving happiness to the other person. Here a doubt arises again. Once again, dharma, artha and kama, please tell me, are this avidya, ignorance or vidya? Please tell me. Dharma, artha and kama are vidya? According to the Vedas, dharma, artha and kama are categorized as avidya. And what is avidya? Ignorance or knowledge?
Ignorance.
Ignorance. And vidya is transcendental knowledge. So please tell me, do we need avidya?
Yes.
Amogh Lila Prabhu said yes. Prabhu, you are very like-minded to me. One thing I like to say about Amogh Lila Prabhu. Sometimes a speaker sits here and the speaker is looking for that one person in the audience who is so excited that simply by looking at that person he can give the entire talk. So a speaker like me is always looking out for a very enthusiastic person to look at. But Prabhu is sitting in back side. Prabhu, so maybe next time you come ahead, it will be my great pleasure. So dharma, artha, kama, avidya. They will not help you escape the material world. And I'm now about to gradually steer into the direction of tyag. All right, dear devotees. Dharma, artha and kama are basically avidya. They are what we call nations. So why take shelter of nations? How many of you would like to take shelter of avidya? Please raise your hands. Nobody. So no dharma, no artha, no kama, only moksha. All right? So that's the end of the lecture. Thank you. That was the purpose of the... Wow, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now I'll be happy. So, why do we need avidya? So all these poetries are written about boyfriends and girlfriends. All these songs are written. All the wonderful culture of art, music, decorations, marriages. All of this can be summed up in one word. Amogh Lila Prabhu, which word?
Avidya.
Avidya. And how many of us want vidya? Please raise your hands. Oh, wow. So let's understand the need for avidya. Dear devotees, it's very important. What is the need for avidya? Because perhaps these types of verses are often not discussed. Therefore, it is important to understand these verses and how the previous acharyas have explained them. You see, all the dharma, artha and kama, especially kama, falls into the category of avidya. Avidya doesn't actually mean ignorance, it means nations which will not help you cross the world. That is what avidya is. And vidya is that which will help you cross the world. Sa vidya ya vimuktaye. Upanishad say, vidya is that which leads to mukti. Everything else is avidya. Now please answer in yes or no. Can poetry, this mundane poetry, help you cross over the world? No. Can all these mundane relationships help you cross over the world? No. So Sri Vyasadeva says, I have a slightly different opinion. In the Ishopanishad, Sri Vyasadeva in the 11th mantra says, please repeat after me, vidyam cha vidyam chayas,
vidyam cha vidyam chayas,
tadvedo bhayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mritam ashnute. He says vidyam cha avidyam cha. Both things he mentions, vidya and avidya. In avidya falls all these poetry, romance, all these things, arts, all these falls in avidya. Dharma, artha, kama, all falls in avidya. And in vidya falls moksha, vedanta, all the other literature related to bhakti. It says, vidyam cha avidyam cha. For one who knows vidya, transcendental knowledge that can help you overcome the world, as well as avidya. And what is avidya? Worldly knowledge pertaining to the three modes. Together you can use avidya to overcome the material world, and you can use vidya to finally attain true immortality. So once again I'll repeat the question. How many of us want avidya? I'll raise my hands. How many of you use YouTube? YouTube is vidya or avidya? Very plain question, very simple question. It should not be a relative answer. I know devotees love to play achinte bheda bhed with everything. But in its default form, without adding any devotional touch to it, is it vidya or avidya?
Avidya.
How many of us use YouTube? Raise your hands. Wow. All shades of color use YouTube. Huh? So.
All your Hari Katha is on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, this Katha is on YouTube. So recorded via avidya, spoken via avidya, and glorifying avidya. Now the purpose is complete. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, Ishwar arpan buddhya kritanam agnihotradi karmanam mrityu marakam antahkarana malam tirtva antah shuddhya kritakritya bhutva vidyaya atma jnanena amritatvam moksham ashnute prapnuti. By performing tasks of avidya, and avidya begins with all the Vedic dharma, artha, kama, and it goes all the way up to YouTube, dear devotees, all these tasks, all material acts with the mindset of offering them to Bhagwan, one surpasses the contamination of one's consciousness. Thus being purified, one becomes completely blessed. Then by vidya, transcendental knowledge of self-realization, one tastes liberation. So how many of us want only avidya? Please raise your hands. Nobody. How many of us want only vidya? Confused. How many of us want both avidya and vidya? Oh wow, now we are talking. Hence proved that avidya is a major part of overcoming this world. And without avidya, if somebody pursues only vidya, the Ishopanishad will also speak to that person. They will call him aside and say, wait, we have to speak something. So dear devotees, is mundane poetry vidya or avidya? Avidya. Kalidas, how many of you have heard his name? So Kalidas is vidya or avidya?
Avidya.
Speak loudly.
Huh?
Avidya. Avidya. And dear devotees, a few days ago I found a very rare commentary on the Meghdoot, the cloud messenger of Kalidas. Can somebody read? Whose commentary is it, dear devotees? Sri Sanatan Goswami's commentary on Kalidas's Meghdoot. Oh, the previous acharyas have studied what, Prabhu?
Avidya.
So how many of us would like to relish the first verse from Sri Sanatan Goswami's commentary to Kalidas's Meghdoot? Please raise your hands. Oh wow, all of you look deeply interested in avidya. So Sri Sanatan Goswami, in his ripe old age, also visualized the Brihad Bhagavat Amritam, which is our most worshipable literature. But that was one of the final contributions of his life here. But before he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sanatan Goswami read profusely all the poetic literature that was available. And his commentary on Kalidas's Meghdoot is with us. Here is the first verse and the first time English translation of Sri Sanatan Goswami's introductory verse to Kalidas's Meghdoot. This verse is in the meter Arya. I'll sing. Please sing after me. Upanitam navanitam.
Upanitam navanitam.
Upanitam
navanitam.
Karatalam abito vrajagrahini biradan. Karatalam abito vrajagrahini biradan. Madhukara vrittir yatiriva. Madhukara vrittir yatiriva. Karapatri nandajo jayati. Karapatri nandajo jayati. Upanitam navanitam, having taken fresh butter, karatalam abito vrajagrihini bir, from the cowherd ladies of Raja, the son of Nanda eats it while holding it in the hollow of his palms. While doing so, he demonstrates the practice of Madhukari, exactly like a sannyasi. Although when he grows up dear devotees, he is going to become the exact opposite of a sannyasi. So he is living out his sannyasi fantasies in his childhood. Thus he reigns above one and all. So even in commentary to Meghdoot, he is beginning by glorifying somebody. And whom is he glorifying? Sri Krishna. And he studied Meghdoot. His entire commentary on the Meghdoot is available today. But it was not published till now because perhaps devotees did not consider it worthwhile to publish something from avidya. But it is a task which we should get it done as soon as possible, dear devotees. It's a very important piece of our history, Sri Sanatan Goswami's commentary on Kalidas's Meghdoot. A very romantic messenger poetry which is written by Kalidas and commented upon by none other than our Sanatan Goswami. Oh, all right, maybe one exception, isn't it? Huh? Sanatan Goswami can do, you cannot do. All right. Sri Rupa Goswami also is in the same league. How many of us would like to hear something about Sri Rupa Goswami's? All right, wonderful. Dear devotees, in the beginning of his Natak Chandrika, which is a textbook, a manual of dramaturgy, how to write devotional drama, Sri Rupa Goswami says what he himself studied before writing Natak Chandrika. This verse is also in the meter Arya. Please sing after me. Viksha Bharata Muni Shastram. Viksha Bharata Muni Shastram. Rasapurva Sudhakaram Charamaniyam. Rasapurva Sudhakaram Charamaniyam. Lakshanamati Sankshepad. Lakshanamati Sankshepad. vilikhyate natakasyedam vilikhyate natakasyedam
having fully studied Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra the most delightful
rasarnav sudhakar
of simha bhupala I now propose this Nataka Chandrika to concisely describe a devotional drama.
Wow, so you studied what? First, Natya Shastra and Rasaranav Sudhakar, which is again mundane poetry. And after studying both of these, you are writing a manual on devotional drama, which is Natak Chandrika. So please tell me, dear devotees, Srila Rupa Goswami studied Vidya or Avidya? And finally, he is writing a manual which will help us in Vidya. Isn't it? And therefore, the verse from Ishopanishad says, Vidyam cha avidyam cha. You need both. Vidya and avidya. Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra is one of the greatest literature that this particular country has produced alongside Mahabharat and Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Rupa Goswami was I am not over exaggerating. Sri Rupa Goswami was a devotee of Bharat Muni. I am not over exaggerating here. He was devoted to Bharat Muni because it was Bharat Muni who first manifested the principle of ras on planet Earth. And for Sri Rupa Goswami, ras is divine. Ras is not something mundane for Sri Rupa Goswami. And therefore, in the another book he is mentioning is Rasaranav Sudhakar. Now, Rasaranav Sudhakar by Simha Bhupal. Simha Bhupal was a king from Andhra Pradesh and he wrote Rasaranav Sudhakar where he explained rasas using various literature. And in order to understand Rasaranav Sudhakar, you have to understand few literature, which Sri Rupa Goswami also had to understand. So I am giving a list of all those literature which are needed to understand Rasaranav Sudhakar. Please hear all the literature that Sri Rupa Goswami had studied. Minimum list that he has studied. Amaru Shatakam. Alright, it is one of the manuals on romantic, 100 romantic verses. Amaru Shatakam, Anargha Raghavam, Bal Ramayan, Bhav Prakashika, Hanuman Natak, Kavya Darsh, Kuvalayavali, Kumar Sambhav of Kalidas, Krishna Karanamritam, you might have heard this name, of Sri Bilva Mangal Thakur, Gatha Sattasai, Prakrit poetry, not Sanskrit, Prakrit poetry, language from 2000 years ago, by Hala, it has poetry about Sri Radha and Krishna in the Prakrit language. Malati Madhav of Bhavabhuti, Malavikagni Mitram of Kalidas, Shishupal Vad of Mahakavi Magh, Meghdut of Kalidas, Ratnavali of Sri Harsh, Raghuvamsh of Kalidas, Saraswati Kanthabharan of King Bhoj of Gujarat, in whose kingdom even the washerman was speaking Sanskrit. Abhigyan Shakuntalam of Kalidas, Uttar Ramcharitra of Bhavabhuti, Bhartri Hari Shatakam. Oh, we have heard this name somewhere. And Vikrama Urvashiyam of Kalidas. All these literature are pre-required for understanding Rasaranav Sudhakar. After reading these literature, Sri Rupa Goswami studied Rasaranav Sudhakar along with Natya Shastram of Bharat Muni, after which he wrote Natak Chandrika, the only available manual on devotional drama. You see the background painting here, dear devotees. It was created by a wonderful devotee. Her name is Aruna Radha Devi Dasi from UK. Yes. In order to make this painting, she has studied professionally. Yes. She had to go to university, and in university, what do they teach? Vidya or Avidya? So this painting is a result of Vidya or Avidya. Please loudly, dear devotees. But this painting is now giving the highest vidya. This painting now represents the highest Vidya. And therefore it is very important to come to terms with avidya and not to run away from it. And I am giving examples from the previous acharyas. And then Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, who composed his Kavya Kaustubh, his manual on poetry. You can see here the cover page of Kavya Kaustubh, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's. And he was not satisfied with one manual on poetry, Kavya Kaustubha. So he ended up writing another manual on poetry, Sahitya Kaumudi, which is his commentary on Kavya Prakash. Kavya Prakash is again a mundane poetic manual. So I was asking yesterday, did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compose poetry? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sri Rupa Goswami? Sri Jeev Goswami,
yes.
Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti,
yes.
Sri Baldev Vidyabhushan,
yes.
Srila Prabhupada,
yes.
All of us.
No.
Why? We don't worship avidya, na? There is a reason why we don't compose poetry. Because we are worshipping only vidya. We don't worship avidya. And therefore, that verse from Sri Ishopanishad is very important. Vidyam cha avidyam cha yastad vedo bhayam saha avidyayam rityum tirtva vidyayam ritam ashnute. And it's very important to understand what is the role of dharma, artha and kama even in attaining progress in devotional life. Now, kama doesn't simply mean lust. Lust is a very specific meaning of kama. Kama in general means any desire. Now if we have to define kama, we have to approach the acharya of kama. Because without approaching the acharya of kama, you cannot get a proper definition of kama. We are very blessed that this particular land produced an acharya of kama. His name is Muni Vatsyayan. And this particular Muni wrote a literature which is known as Kama Sutra. Unfortunately, when this literature went to the Western countries, people misunderstood it for a manual on illicit relationships between men and women. When in fact, out of the 7 chapters of this manual, 6 chapters are dedicated to having a proper household life, decorating the house properly, how a husband and wife should live, etc. And due to not understanding this literature properly, many people misunderstand the purpose of Kama Shastra. Here is the definition of Kama as given by Muni Vatsyayan. Please repeat after me. Shrotra, Tvak, Chakshur, Jihva, Ghrananam, Atma Samyogena, Manasa, Adhishthitana, Sveshu Sveshu, Vishayeshu, Anukulyatah, Pravritte, Kamaha. Kindly read the translation, Prabhu.
The delightful engagement of the ears, skin, eyes, tongue, and nose, their respective sense objects, along with the conjunction of the mind and the living entity, is known as calm.
This is the definition of calm. So engagement of any of our senses in the sense object favorably, not forcibly. Because somebody may give us a bitter medicine and eat forcibly. Will that be called as kama? No. Although the senses are coming in contact with a sense object, but it is not favorably. When we ourselves desire to engage in any sort of sense contact, it becomes known as kama. So kama, the definition of kama should be learned from the authorized sources. Kama also specifically means lust. But this is the general meaning of kama. In a single English term, we can say desire. What is the general English term? Desire. And the specific translation is lust. Now, if somebody rejects kama and says we want only vidya, no avidya, there is a big disaster, Sri Vyasadeva says. Please repeat after me. Andham tama pravishanti. Ye avidyam upasate,
ye avidyam upasate.
ततो भूय इव ते तमो यौ विद्यायामृता अंधम तमः प्रविशन्ति ये अविद्याम उपासते दोज हु वर्शिप अविद्या अलोन ओनली द एंड गोल ऑफ लाइफ इज अविद्या दैट ओनली पोएट्री ओनली सॉन्ग्स ओनली डांस ओनली नाइस ईटिंग अंधम तमः प्रविशन्ति दे एंटर डीप डार्कनेस एंड इग्नोरेंस द मीनिंग ऑफ डीप डार्कनेस एंड इग्नोरेंस इज नॉट हेल द मीनिंग ऑफ डीप डार्कनेस एंड इग्नोरेंस इज दे कम बैक टू दिस वर्ल्ड आई होप यू आर एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड दे कम बैक टू दिस वर्ल्ड So they have to take birth again because they worshipped only one entity. And which was that? Avidya. And tato bhuya ivate tamo. However, those who are fully engaged only in vidya fall into even greater darkness. So, I will keep silence for 1 minute and let it settle in. Please meditate about this for me. I don't give exercises usually in the middle of the class. So like, Please take a minute to digest this. Who is in greater ignorance? The worshipper of avidya or the worshipper of vidya? The worshipper of vidya. See how honest the Upanishads are. See how they show us a mirror directly in front of our face. And that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for men who are thoroughly honest. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. It is not meant for people who are thoroughly dishonest. If without this knowledge, if you would have asked me, I would have said only vidya. But after knowing this, we become sober. That we understand what is the need also for avidya in our lives. After studying Malati, Madhav, Meghadut, all these poetry, Sri Sanatana Goswami wrote Brihad Bhagavatamritam. After studying all these poetry, Sri Rupa Goswami wrote Daan Keli Kaumodi. Now please tell me, what should we think of all these other literature that they used as a stepping stone to arrive at Vidya? Are they needed or not needed? Please tell me. Needed? So that is, it is very important. For because, as I said, if I am putting my hands into Varnashram, I have to do some justice to the subject matter. Otherwise, there is no justice to the topic of Varnashram unless we deal with the aspect of Dharma, Artha and Kama in a holistic manner. Now Sri Vyasadeva himself is saying, now at least it should become bona fide. But not unrestricted enjoyment. Enjoyment that is as it is given in the Shastras. Not hedonistic enjoyment. Enjoyment as it is given in the Shastras. Because some people will think, oh, so it is allowed, so I can go watch any movie whatsoever. But that is not what is being specified. Kavya, poetics. It elevates your heart. I hope you are able to understand. Poetics elevates your heart. It finally results in transformation of the heart, no transformation on the body. There is a big effect that poetics has on a person who is studying them. Yeah. Mataji, you have a query? Yeah, maybe we can take after the talk. Yes. No, yeah, yeah. I'll answer. So, the point I am making is that avidya, those who worship all those literatures which they use to arrive at that particular point, those literatures are also very important. And Shri Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, please repeat after me, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. I am giving a literal translation of this, Prabhu, kindly read.
O Arjuna, I am Kama, that's not opposed to dharma.
I am that Kama, I am that desire that is not opposed to dharma. So yeah, my thought process had broken. Somebody may say, oh, I'll watch anything on the internet, and because it is avidya, so any avidya is okay. So that is not the case. Avidya, as it is mentioned in the shastras, there are chaturdash vidyas, 14 vidyas as mentioned in the shastras. Although they are ultimately part of avidya, but they end up elevating the consciousness of the human being. Kavya, poetics, is one of the chaturdash vidyas, 14 vidyas. And by studying Kavya, a person's heart is elevated and they are able to overcome the mundane, profane emotions of this world. Because even the emotions that are depicted in mundane poetry such as Meghdoot, Raghuvamsh, etc. are meant to elevate the reader from a position of mundane lust to a position of something which is close to divine. And finally, after that, vidyaya. Then you always have vidya. And that vidya will help you reach further ahead. Commenting upon this, because often here in this verse, kaam is translated as lust. I am lust which is not opposed to dharma. But many commentators say the term kaam should be taken for all the desires. Shri Madhusudan Saraswati, a very respectable commentator who is glorified even by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, dharma anukulo va yo bhuteshu pranishu kamah shastra anumata jaya putra vittadi vishayo bhilasha so aham asmi. Krishna is saying, I am that calm desire for attaining a wife, son, wealth or any other type of enjoyment which does not contradict shastra. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. So dear devotees, any material enjoyment that doesn't contradict shastra is also a representation of one personality. And which personality is that? Sri Krishna himself. As soon as it becomes dharma viruddha, as soon as it becomes against dharma, it stops being a representation of Sri Krishna. So this subtle distinction has to be understood. Now, somebody may still say, no, we will forcibly stop our kama, we don't want to engage our kama in any way. We don't want to deal with our kama in any way. Just forcibly stop it, that is the best solution. Don't even try to get into this. Previous acharyas were very special. You are not special. The Ishopanishad verse was speaking for previous acharyas or for everybody? Please tell me. So the Ishopanishad is expecting everybody to deal with avidya or only the previous acharyas to deal with avidya? Everybody. Because the mantras from Ishopanishad are applicable to everybody, not only to the previous great acharyas. So each and every one of us will have to think about what all are the areas in which our kama is our desire is manifesting, and what is the way in which we can use that kama to render some seva towards Bhagavan. One who suppresses kama, especially the lust variety of kama, such a person is again critiqued in the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Shri Krishna himself starts speaking to Yudhishthir and he says, now I will speak Kam Gita. Dear devotees, many of you might have heard of Bhagavad Gita. Here is another Gita. And what is the name? Kam Gita. This is the Kam Gita section, because Kama is Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself, is a representation of Krishna. So Sri Krishna speaks the words of Kamadev in Kam Gita in the Mahabharata. Please repeat after me. Naham shakyo nupayena Hantum bhutena kenache Yomam prayatate hantum Gyatva praharane balam Tasya tasmin praharane Punaha pradur bhavamyaham Kamadev is speaking. Dear devotee is what you call Cupid. Cupid is a rough western representation of Kamadev. But Kamadev speaks something in Kamagita. He says, Naham shakyo anupayena hantum bhutena kenachit. You cannot kill me by any means whatsoever. Alright. Any means whatsoever. And Yo mam prayatate hantum. Prabhu, your good name. Swapnil Prabhu. Okay. Let's say Swapnil, I'm just taking you as an example. Please excuse me, Prabhu. Yo mam prayatate hantum. Today Swapnil Prabhu decides, I have to finish Kam. Destroy Kam. Sounds like a good proposition, Prabhu?
Yes.
Yes, alright. Gyatva praharane balam. So you will need an instrument to slaughter it. Some weapon is needed to slaughter. So Prabhu, what could be a weapon? Please tell me one example.
Absorption and chanting.
Chanting, oh wonderful. Chalo. I understand. Prabhu thought he is taking a transcendental weapon. So Swapnil Prabhu took a weapon, chanting. So Swapnil Prabhu decided, see, 16 rounds are not cutting the task. Because Kamdev you have to defeat, you'll need more quantity. So Swapnil Prabhu, let's select a higher quantity. Huh? What quantity should we select for killing?
64.
Okay, wonderful. Huh? So Swapnil Prabhu selected 64. So Swapnil Prabhu said, now I'm equipped with a daily quota of 64 rounds. I'm going to slaughter Kamdev very soon. So Kamdev is laughing somewhere in the corner. Tasya tasmin praharane punah pradur bhavamyaham. Kamdev laughs and says, I am going to appear in his very weapon and slaughter him instead. Here is the translation, Prabhu. Kindly read.
I cannot be slain.
Should I read? Okay. I, Kam, cannot be slain by any being whatsoever by any existing means. If anyone should seek to slay me, putting their trust in the strength of any means, then I appear in that very means and overcome them. So today he decides, Swapnil Prabhu decides, 64 rounds from today, all right? You'll do it, Prabhu, right? Okay, you'll try. So. Yeah, yeah, Haridas Thakur. Yeah, all these examples are given, yeah. I'll come to that. Often the only example quoted for chanting is Haridas Thakur, as if nobody else chanted. But I'll come to that example, okay. So from that day onwards, now onwards, Prabhu, you are not Swapnil Prabhu. You are Swapnil Prabhu 64 rounder. At least in your mind you are, isn't it? Huh? So from next day onwards, so I am now I'm not Swapnil. I am Swapnil 64. You have that mobile Swapnil 64 Pro Max, you know? T-shirt, yeah. So, and he's chanting every day and he's feeling wow, and Kamadev gives him the initial impression, yes, yes, you have overcome. And after a few months, his reputation spreads around in the temple. Swapnil Prabhu is a 64 rounder. So one fine day, one Mataji comes and asks him, can you teach me the art of chanting 64 rounds? Yeah. And they lived happily ever after. Swapnil Prabhu may say, no, no, Prabhu, you are describing an extreme situation. You are describing an extreme situation. I'll not fall for the ladies. I'll chant my 64 rounds, and if any devotee comes and asks me, I'll give them guidance. Of course, I'm now, you know, I'm expert in chanting 64. I should guide other devotees, isn't it? So sooner or later, a small club of devotees forms around Swapnil Prabhu. And there are no Matajis there, all right? But still, Swapnil Prabhu has now, you know, there are a few devotees taking care of Swapnil Prabhu. Prabhuji, do you need anything? Is everything okay with you? Should we get you some gift because, you know, you have helped us so much, Prabhu? Perhaps you should give a lecture on how to chant 64 rounds. We'll put a garland around you and we'll respect you a lot. Kamdev is laughing, Prabhuji. Because Kam said, I am not only lust. I am any sort of sense gratification that you desired. Don't believe me? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. So with hundreds of followers and calm fully on display, Kamdev is laughing in the corner. So, Swapnil Prabhu, whether you wanted freedom from lust or whatever, your purpose is not attained. I am still present in your life. And now I will not go away. Kam Gita is a very important principle that Bhagavan teaches. That no matter if you try to suppress calm in one way, it will enter into that very means and give you calm in another way. Calm you will have, irrespective of what you do. So I wish to introduce a verse by Sri Rupa Goswami before concluding this session. And Sri Rupa Goswami says, I understand many devotees are very eager to overcome kaam. Now, please raise your hands. How many of us are eager to hear from Sri Rupa Goswami? Yeah, all right. So, Sri Rupa Goswami will speak. The verse is in the meter. Shardula Vikriditam. Please sing after me. Kashayan cha bhojanadi niyaman no vavane vasato. Vyakyanadatva muni vratabara chetodbhavah kshiyate. Sri Rupa Goswami doesn't use the term kama, he uses chitta udbhava, he who arises within the heart. He is using that term for kama, chitta udbhava. Chitte udbhavo yasya, he who arises within the heart is known as kama. So, Sri Rupa Goswami says how to stop it. First solution is given, kashayan. Kashay is saffron cloth. Isn't it? Yeah, saffron cloth. Brahmachari sannyasi cloth, saffron cloth. And after kashayan is the next term. What is the next term? Na. Kashayana. The arising of calm is stopped not by wearing kashay. Another meaning of kashay is Ayurvedic medicine. So there are Ayurvedic medicines available in the market for making yourself impotent. Would anybody like to buy? One single short solution, Prabhu. Kashayanna. Not by wearing saffron cloth, not by taking Ayurvedic impotence medicines. Nacha bhojanadi niyaman. Not by restricting food and other sense activities. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Kashi as a sannyasi and he was chanting Hare Krishna. He was staying at the home of a Marathi, Maharashtrian Brahmin. And they used to feed him nicely. So you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they eat till here. And the other sannyasis in Kashi, they don't eat so much. So the other sannyasis, they started saying, this Bengali sannyasi, he just dances and eats. He has only two things to do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Prasad. And no Vedanta. So, this news reached that Maharashtrian Brahmin who was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became very unhappy with that. So he composed a verse, Simho Bali Dvirada Shukara Mamsa Bhoji. He says, the lion, he eats red meat of the cow or the bull. Or he sometimes eats the meat of the wild boar. The lion eats that meat. But he only mates twice in a year. Whereas a pigeon survives only on grains. And he mates 10 times a day minimum. So please tell me, oh sannyasis of Kashi, is there any relationship between food and lust? So this verse reached the sannyasis at Kashi. And they were offended that, you know. In Hindi, they say, Ek to chori upar se sina jori. Those who don't understand, I don't know how to translate it. You are doubling down on your shamelessness, you know, that's how, you know. Isn't it? That's how you can translate it. So they were very unhappy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First and foremost, he eats so much and dances on the street, no Vedanta, nothing. And then on top of that, they are composing verses to justify their gluttony. So Sri Rupa Goswami says, not by these things. In fact, you may be knowing, there is a pastime of Sri Rupa Goswami. His sweet rice, he overate so much that he got something. What did he get? Indigestion. But never, no trace of lust, dear devotees, for such individuals. Because there is no connection between these two. No va vane vasato, not by living in the forest. Vyakhyanath, not by hearing various lectures on overcoming calm. Atha muni vrata bharat, and certainly not by executing a vow of silence. Because Saubhari Muni tried that, he failed miserably. Not by all these things, dear devotees. So then how? So that will remain a mystery, dear devotees. I will keep that a mystery. But Sri Narottam Das Thakur has one central message for all of us. I will end with this. Sri Narottam Das Thakur says in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, please repeat after me. Kama Krishna Karmarpane. This is Prema Bhakti Chandrika. In existing translations of this literature, kam is translated as lust. Now we will translate it in a new manner. What is the meaning of kam, dear devotees?
Desire.
Any creative tendency, offer your kam, in the various creative activities related to Shri Krishna. Kama, Krishna, Karma, Arpane. So Sri Narottam Das Thakur is including all meanings of Kama in this. If you have a desire to paint, use it for Bhagavan. And don't shy away from learning avidya. Because it is only by avidya that one overcomes the world, and it is only by vidya that one finally tastes the nectar. Not possible otherwise. Many have tried in the past, many acharyas have tried in the past. It is good advice. Don't try to go against them. Please don't try to go against them. At the end of the day, everybody is free to do what they wish to do. Yatha icchasi tatha kuru. But it is important to give a recommendation from the previous acharyas. Don't walk on the path where millions of others have failed. Because if kaam doesn't come out in the form of lust, kaam will come out in the form of Swapnil Prabhu's hundreds of followers. But thank you, Swapnil Prabhu, for tolerating me. Tomorrow we will see something goes wrong with Bhartrihari as well as Pururava. Because nobody lives happily ever after. It's the movie ends at the marriage. Nobody shows what is going to happen after that. They don't show that he's paying the mortgage bills, he's filling fuel in the car, she's taking care of two kids, she's lost all her beauty gradually, he's losing his hair. They don't get along with each other. Nobody shows that. So, tomorrow we'll explore that side of the equation. Thank you very much, devotees. Yadatra skhalitam kinchit vidvam sahapura yantu tat. Yadatra saushtavam kinchit tad guru reva me nahi. Yadatra skhalitam kinchit. It is possible that I might have made a mistake in speaking something. If I made a mistake, vidvam saha, your learned devotees, pura yantu tat, please correct any mistakes. But yadatra saushtavam kinchit, if there was anything nice that you found, please remember, tad guru reva, it belongs to my gurujanas, me nahi, it doesn't belong to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai. So, I'd like to thank Maharaj once again. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for kindly giving me an opportunity to speak something like this. I know I'm taking a slight risk by speaking on such topics, but I also need a person who will stand with me. So, big round of applause to Maharaj for... There's a reason why, because I could not have imagined myself speaking this if it would have been somebody else organizing the seminar, because perhaps they would have said, Prabhu, this is getting too controversial, let's change the topic. But I'm very thankful to Maharaj that he supports and he's standing with me. And even if I make a mistake, Maharaj will correct me. But Maharaj will never let me go. So that I am confident of. So thank you so much, Maharaj. And as I said, it's not about the color of the cloth. Maharaj is perhaps one of the most rasika persons that I have seen in our movement. It's not about the color of the cloth. Wherever there are talks of rasa, you will find one bumblebee there, huh? But he's wearing saffron cloth, dear devotees. He's very much attracted to Rasakatha And so I consider him to be very like-minded. And then I have also seen individuals who are in white cloth, but with a scraped heart. But I would not mention their names. But Maharaj, even though in saffron cloth, he has the heart which is very favorable for understanding and receiving these topics. So it is only with him that I can feel confident in speaking such topics. Maharaj, I am very, very grateful that I got an opportunity via yourself. Thank you so much. All right. We have time for Q&A. I'd also like to thank my co-speaker, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. He's also presenting topics of Brihad Bhagavat Amritam, Vidya. Did you know what is Vidya? Huh? So come in the evening to hear Avidya. And come in the morning and afternoon to hear Vidya. Don't miss anything, because Sri Vyasadeva critiques anybody who listens only to Vidya and anybody who listens only to Avidya. So please come for all the talks, and now we'll have question and answers. All right. So, but if Maharaj, would you like to offer a comment or?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for taking us on this journey. I do know this verse from Adiyavali, that karma is not stopped by saffron, by Ayurvedic medicine, by restricting food, living in the forest, etc., etc. And I know also the outcome of this verse. I will not, you have left us with a cliffhanger, so I will not spoil this. My dear devotees, I can see in your faces that you're thinking very deeply. That is the idea. We want to really find out how can we actually become, let me say, lovers of God. No, we want to find this out and become, and how can we overcome the various obstacles in our path. So you will see, by understanding your cliffhanger, when you stop your concern, by God we can overcome karma, you will all be delighted and shout, wow! and now, you please all undergo the welcome surgery, which is necessary for the full health. Yes, we all know this verse, we've heard this verse about engaging both with avidya and vidya simultaneously straight, then only we can overcome the contaminations of material existence. From Ishopanishad, no? You remember this in your Ishopanishad studies? So we are hearing about this now. You might have not known for a long time what this verse means in the Ishopanishad. We have to study both material or vidya and avidya to overcome ignorance. Now light is shed into the meaning of this verse. So everything will become clear. I know by looking into our Marifamsha's motivation that you will all come to the wow effect. But be patient, accept the challenge of what you have heard so much. It may need some fine tuning.
Thank you, Maharaj. One of the things I love about Maharaj is there is a culture in traditional circles. It is called Anumodan. Anumodan is when a particular person speaks a talk, and after that, the main personality is who has organized the talk is given the mic, and they speak something in line with or positive or in accordance with what was spoken. And this is a very good culture of Anumodan. And this culture is so nice because I learned from my own Guru Maharaj this culture of Anumodan. Because sometimes I have had an experience where I speak an entire talk and then the main organizer takes the mic. Oh, it was a very lofty lecture. We may not be able to digest these topics right now. Let's visit 20 years later. So in the name of Anumodan, somebody passes a sarcastic remark and it leaves a bitter taste in the mouth of the person who was speaking. But this wonderful culture of Anumodan, as Maharaj has demonstrated, is perhaps one of the sweetest things about Vedic culture. When Sri Suta Goswami was made to sit on the Vyasasan, Suta Goswami was lower in jati. According to birth, Suta Goswami was lower, and the devotees who were sitting below were higher in jati. Shaunak Rishi was higher in jati. But they always gave him a lot of respect, gave him a garland, and treated him very nicely. And it is the culture of speaking some katha, that those who, if we offer a garland to somebody or if we offer a seat to somebody, we should do Anumodan. Anumodan is, we should add to their delight at the end of the talk. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for wonderfully demonstrating this culture. Hare Krishna. So let's begin. Yes, Prabhu, we'll begin with yourself.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for this session.
My pleasure.
As we all are trying to advance in this path of Krishna consciousness, we either aspire to or want to get initiated, we are required to cover Bhakti Shastri. As Maharaj has mentioned, that we've all gone through this. But yet, when you and we've all seen these verses, but yet when you brought on the 9th and 11th verse on Vishuddha Vinasha, there was a pin drop silence. It was a mic drop, like it was something revelation. Right? So why is there that disconnect? Like we've all gone through it, yet it was all new to us. Is it because of how we've been, you know?
Yeah.
Why is there that big a disconnect?
Well, I can only say this, that when we study a verse for the first time, we get to know its initial meaning, which you can say plain vanilla meaning, and that is the meaning which fits within our mind. And we read it for the first time and we may read a purport on it, and it may be a part of a syllabus, and we need to do it because first readings are most essential. Without the first reading, you can't even enter into that Shastra. But the first reading may not give that proper context or that proper connect which you find in a detailed explanation, because now the verse is put again with a specific context in mind. And that specific context and the specific connection of the verse at the proper time is what gives that effect. In the Mahabharata, it is said, Kalena Padam Labhate Tatartham. 25% of knowledge is acquired by hearing from a guru. Guru means a teacher, anybody who may be teaching a Bhakti Shastri course also. 25% is acquired from such person. 25% is acquired by discussion with other students. 25% is acquired by self-study. And 25% is acquired only by passage of time. So, if you want, I can share the verse later. Kalena padam labhate tathartham. So that 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. And the final 25% is most important. That is time. Because it is that time which allows you to ruminate upon the verse. And then in that time of rumination, the Upanishadic activities of Manan and Nididhyasan take place. Because Shravan, Manan, Nididhyasan are three stages in which knowledge is acquired. Shravan is first hearing, Manan is meditation upon it, and Nididhyasan is full realization by passage of time and other factors. So perhaps from Shravan to Nididhyasan to complete realization, and still complete realization doesn't occur because there may be other angles to the verse which I may not know. In the Kena Upanishad it is said, Naham manya suvedeti no na vedeti vedacha, yo nastad veda tad veda no na vedeti vedacha. Naham manya suvedeti, I don't say that I know everything. No na vedeti vedacha, nor do I fake humility by saying I know nothing. Yo nastad veda tad veda no na vedeti vedacha. One who says that he doesn't know everything actually knows everything. And one who says he knows everything actually doesn't know anything. There is a very nice verse from the Upanishads that we will never have complete knowledge of any verse at any point of time. And Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya. So we will never have that complete knowledge, but if knowledge of a particular aspect of the verse has shined within your heart, then always write down those realizations and keep them with you, because they open the knots in the heart. It's very important that through our study of Shastra, Vidyate Hridaya Granthis, the knots in the heart should open. You said mic drop moment because perhaps it was presented in a way that worldly Vidya is to be used in this, you know, in connection with Bhagwan, and there is no harm in learning Vedic worldly Vidya, because that Vedic worldly Vidya really uplifts you. And Vedic Avidya, it uplifts you. So there is no harm in learning that. So that is the way in which it was presented, because it was presented through the angle of Kaam. It's very important to understand Kaam is also dealt with in the Upanishads. Saha akamayat ekoham bahusyam. In the beginning of creation, saha akamayat, he desired. Ekoham, alone I am. Bahusyam, let me become many. Prajayayam iti. And so he manifested the entire worlds. The world began on which purushar? Dharma, artha or kama? Kaam. So it's the fundamental goal of life which sprang forth the entire universe. So it's very important to understand the stages through which knowledge is acquired, and time is a very important factor in that. And so taking out that free time, studying one shastra at a time and meditating deeply upon it, our constant meditation upon shastra are very important factors required to reach a certain level of understanding of any particular verse. So I hope that answers your query.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. All right. I would like to take alternates, one Mataji's and one, so that, yeah, yourself. Yeah, let's give.
Right.
So that was my previous understanding. Yeah. Yeah. Which verse were you speaking about?
Mantra 9.
Yeah. This is Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary on Ishopanishad, and in Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary, he says, Atra vidya vidyayoho samuchichishaya pratyekam ninda uchyate. So he says, if you take only one, that is criticized in this particular mantra, ये जनाः अविद्याम, I'll zoom in a little bit. ये जनाः अविद्याम विद्यया अन्या अविद्या कर्म. So those who worship only avidya, avidya means that which is besides vidya. And then he says karma kanda basically, the Vedic karma that is mentioned, those who worship that. Kurvanti, svargarthani karmani kevalam tatpara anushthit anutishthanti te pranina andham tamah agyanam pravishanti. They enter into the darkness. And what is the meaning of darkness? People may say hell. No. It says samsara paramparam anubhavanti. They enter into the repeated cycle of birth and death. And then he says, tatas tasmad andhakatamat tamasah samsarat bhuya iva bahutaram eva tamaste pravi. And even greater darkness, they enter. Ye punaha, he says, those who are vidyayam keval atma jnana eva rata. Those who are engaged only in self-realization and do have nothing to do with avidya. So those who are only atma jnana is knowledge of self-realization. Those who are engaged only with that knowledge and who discard avidya, they enter into even deeper darkness than that. So the translation is based on Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary. That is the commentary of for our sampradaya, which is commonly accepted in the entire sampradaya. So based on that commentary, the reason why I wanted, I could have taken the translation by Srila Prabhupada, but the reason is for the presentation, it's important to highlight the terms vidya and avidya. In that English translation, I did not want to add anything to Srila Prabhupada's translation, so I did a separate translation which is based on the commentary of Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. So without touching the translation of Srila Prabhupada only.
Would you be still able to bridge this gap between this translation or this commentary and Prabhupada's translation?
Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada, what does Srila Prabhupada say? You translated it. What does he translate avidya as? So-called knowledge. Yeah, so-called knowledge means so-called knowledge given in the Vedas for sense enjoyment, wealth, etc. That in that way you can harmonize it. That is with avidya. That is how you can harmonize these two by saying so-called knowledge that is mentioned in the Vedas that is favorable for the first three goals of life, dharma, artha and kama. That is how you can bridge the gap.
No, I think the so-called knowledge is for vidya. The so-called
knowledge. Okay. I hope I answered your query. Thank you. Yes, we'll go here. At least what I am saying is, the translation was based on, at least mine was based on Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary. Okay. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Toto,
thank
for
you.
The wonderful class. Truly, when you were explaining about like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they studied the Atarsha, other so-called...
Just call it avidya.
Yes, they studied avidya,
okay.
And then they were able to compose like Bhagavata and Dante.
Yeah, see, when it comes to the acharyas, we don't say then they were able to compose. Is that it is their leela? You know, we say acharyas always perform leela. That is what we say. But even in leela, they have shown a specific way of composing transcendental literature. So we will not say that without that they were handicapped or without that they could not have done. They could have done even without that. But they are showing through their example what other devotees also need to understand. Okay, so yeah, they went through it. Yeah, so what is the question?
You
answered the question. All right.
Because it was sounding like that they had to read, and my understanding was that these poems, this work, is a composition, while the work of Acharya is their divine realization of the Pajra. That's what they wrote at Dhanapali Kamadhi.
So I'm therefore I said, are... is Sanskrit poetry fully mundane or does it have an element of transcendence? And that's a very big thing to meditate upon. Because when you study ras, even mundane ras, in the shastra of mundane ras, it is said, rasa is Brahmananda Sahodara. It is the younger brother of Brahma Anand, the enjoyment of impersonal Brahman. So even rasa that is mentioned in mundane literature is not considered by mundane poets as a mundane entity. It has some element of mundaneness, but it has a lot of element also of divinity. Therefore, when you study it through that particular poetry, it is not similar to the poetry which modern day poets write. There is a lot of churning of the heart within that, and it touches your chitta. It touches your heart and it brings you in contact with something transcendental so as to elevate you above the usual level of mundaneness. And I'm being very frank, in the world outside, if you go see in the devotee society, we may not speak about it so much. In the world outside is filled with all sorts of vulgarity. It's filled with all. I stay in Mumbai, the city which has taken responsibility of spoiling entire India. So I know. So this is the reality of the world outside. And if we end up rejecting even those sources of Sanskrit poetry which can help us gradually overcome this, then we are unnecessarily discarding something which could have helped us. So it's very important to understand that there is a certain type of poetry which can elevate you. Not every poetry degrades us. So that is what the Acharya studied in order to arrive at that particular point. But it was their Leela. Okay. One last query, then we'll pause. Yes, Mataji behind. Yes, Mataji yourself. Avidya will lead to avidya.
Vidya.
Avidya will help you to overcome the material world. And vidya will help you to relish what is in the other side. Yeah. You are already, Mataji, learning so much avidya. I'm just being, those who learned how to use YouTube, those who learn, it's not even proper avidya. I mean, it is, avidya also has standards. Avidya has a certain dignity, to it. Vedic avidya has a certain dignity to it, but in the world outside, what we are learning, please tell me, isn't it thousands of times better to at least learn avidya on the Vedic level? Please tell me. The world is forcing us to learn these things. And I'll give a simple example from my side. I started associating with the devotees back in 2001. And in 2002, I went to Brahmachari training for 4 years. And during those times, one of the years there was a cricket World Cup and I was staying with the Brahmacharis. Those were training to be Brahmacharis basically. And one of the devotees got very excited because it was the final match of the World Cup. Most likely India was involved. So he is listening to the radio and somebody caught him listening to the radio. So this was back in 2003-2004. So those were very different times. It was like Satya Yuga. So there was a meeting called and this devotee was chastised. and the harms of radio were discussed in a lecture. So the brahmachari who gave the lecture on why radio is maya, in 2026 he has his YouTube channel. So I don't know whether I joined the wrong movement or what happened here. Therefore, I am saying it is much better to learn Vedic avidya. It is much better to learn. Because day by day, the external energy is forcing us to learn more and more degraded forms of knowledge, which we are calling it Yukta Vairagya, quote unquote. Better to learn Vedic avidya, so that our minds will be purified. Once a person gets a taste, like Sri Rupa Goswami had a taste, Sri Sanatana Goswami had a taste for Kalidas or for all these literature, they will never settle for any level of things in the world outside. Because they know that love, even though it is material, that love which is described in that poetry is not available anywhere in the world today. This Urvashi and Pururava, nobody has a chance of attaining that particular love in the world today. Sri Jiva Goswami says, Yad amita rasa shastre vyanji vaidak devrindam tad anumapina vetum kalpate kami loka. The ordinary person on the street cannot attain even a tiny fraction of what is described in these poets, by these poets, Kalidas, etc. And a very simple example, the most popular love story in the Western world is Romeo and Juliet. And please raise your hands, how many of you experienced love like Romeo and Juliet? Because they died in the end. So if you are present here, you can be rest assured that you didn't experience that love. So when the expectations from material love, kaam, are raised to that level by Vedic avidya, forget about getting involved in any of these things. Param drishtva nivartate. But param has to go through certain stages. Param drishtva nivartate. So I hope that answers your query. I wanted to tell that brahmachari Prabhu, I have a recording of your 2003 lecture. I want to post it on your YouTube channel. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.